The video was one that Sarah did up for us last year, Sarah Pooter. And so actually it was after we had made the presentation here in the church, and we just thought, well, we would show it, but if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. And let's turn in our Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter 10. And it's exciting to get into the Word of God and see what the Lord has for us in His Word. And this chapter, we see the Lord's called His disciples. And He says, "And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus and Levaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold nor silver nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves, for the workman is worthy of his meat. And into whatsoever city or town ye shall enter, inquire who in it is worthy, and there abide till ye go thence. And when ye come into a house, salute it, and if the house be worthy, let your peace come upon it. If it be not worthy, let your peace return to you. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear your words, when you depart out of that house or city, shake off the dust of your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves." Well, let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrows, and is discern of the thoughts and intents of the heart. We pray you'd take your word and do those things in our hearts and lives today. Thank you, God, for the fact that you're our God, King of kings, Lord of lords, and you know what it is that we need to keep us on your road and keep us going for you. So fill us today with this heavenly manna. And we thank you for the manna that comes down from on high that you feed us with daily. And Lord, we pray that you would cause us to be satisfied in Jesus Christ. And we thank you and bless you and praise you for that which you do for us in Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's a great thing to have the word of truth. And as I was looking into this chapter, I thought, wow, you wonder what God wants me to say about this chapter. But you know, he's got a lot of great things to say about all the chapters in the Bible. And I was thinking about this, about the apostles. It says there's 12 of them. And, that's not news to most people. And then you look over in the book of Revelation, and the names of the 12 apostles are in the foundation of the New Jerusalem. And you think, well, down where we live, there's apostles down there too. the Pentecostals here and there. They got different ones that are apostles. This one has about 15,000 in his church and that one. But my Bible says there's only 12 apostles. That would be 13, 14. There's one over in Salvador too, also. So that would be another one. And so that means some of them aren't the true apostles. And so if they're not true, they're false. False apostles. And so, you know, you talk to people about that, but these apostles have their people mesmerized into thinking, hey, they're true ones, you know. And so, but how to see who's the true and who's the false? And so, well, the Bible gives us some instruction about that. And you look and see, okay, the Lord, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about how the Lord called apostles, prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers. And so we could look in Ephesians in chapter, well, where would we find that? Maybe chapter 4, verse 11. And he says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. And so, and some churches think that we're supposed to have apostles even now. We do have apostles as Baptists. Ours are in this book. And so, but others have people that are still alive today, and so, and they're getting new messages, and it's good to think about these things, or the messages they got, is that comparable with the Word of God? And so, we have the Scripture, and it's given by God, and it says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That means it came out of the mouth of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto sitting down and doing nothing. No, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So as Christians, hey, we're supposed to find some good works and ask the Lord, what are the works you want me to do? And so, but we're to be thoroughly furnished, thoroughly prepared, you know, to do these good works. And God's given us the Scripture whereby we can be prepared. And there's another passage that talks about the Scriptures God gave. We could look over in the book of Peter. And maybe it's in 2 Peter. And 2 Peter chapter 1. In verse 19 he says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. More sure word than what? Well, he's been telling them about the time on the Mount of Transfiguration. When they saw the Lord up there and he was transfigured, it was like the veil was taken off. And they could see him in his glory. And there was there with him a couple other people. Who were they? Who can help me? Do you know who was there on the Mount of Transfiguration on that day? There was somebody that appeared that, who? Moses. He was one of them. There was another. Moses and, so who else knows? Elijah. Okay. So Moses and Elijah were there. I often wondered, well, how would you know? This is Moses and that's Elijah. And how would you even know it was those two? Except for the Spirit of God would let them know, you know. And so, that wasn't a problem. Sometimes we think of things that are problems that are not a problem. And so, not a problem at all. But he says here, we have a more sure word then even that event that they witnessed as eyewitnesses there on the Mount of Transfiguration, that was sort of big in their minds, but there's something more sure than that. And he says, more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place. Do we live in a dark place? Okay, spiritually speaking, it's dark. Well, it gets dark here every night, but it's dark spiritually, okay? And where we are down there in Honduras, it's the same. And it says, unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Well, it's nice to get up early and see the morning star, the day star, and rise in your hearts. And so, but it's a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, too. And he is the star, and it should shine in our hearts and lives. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You know, sometimes people say, oh, that's what you think. No, that's what the Bible says. And so we're not given just what we think. We're given what the Word of God says. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scriptures have any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God gave them the message, and he moved them to give the word to the people. And so the message was given by God to the prophets, and they gave it to the people. And that's the way it should be. Well, we come along to the New Testament, and Jesus calls some disciples. Wasn't it interesting that he went down by the seashore and here these fellas are out there mending their nets and working alongside their dead, and he says, come, follow me. And they left their nets, and they followed him. Wow. Just like that. And people think, oh, these were just old fishermen. No, but they were Jewish people. They studied in the synagogue. They knew that the Messiah was coming, and this is him. And Andrew went and found Peter, and so we found the Messiah. Well, today, if you tell people, hey, we found the Messiah, well, so what? No, but it wasn't that way with them. The Messiah, they've been waiting for more than 1,000 years. 1,500 years, more than that. Been waiting for him to come, and he's come. And hey, they were going, Peter was interested. He came to Jesus. His brother brought him. So that was important. You know, it reminds me, we need to bring our brothers and sisters and people to Christ so that they can know him too. That's important. And so that was that's the first thing that Andrew did when he came to Jesus. He first goeth and findeth his brother. And so that's what God wants us to do. Anyway, so here we are in Matthew chapter 10. And Jesus is called his 12 disciples. And he's given them powers here against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. I remember when I was a kid and I thought, wow, if you're going to be a preacher to do all these things, cast out evil spirits, heal all manner of diseases. And I tell you the truth, I wasn't any kind of a healer as a kid. No, not even since. And so I was beginning to wonder, well, how am I going to do those kind of things? Because I was thinking the Lord's going to call me to give his word. And then it goes on here and he says more about those kind of things. Freely ye have received, freely give. There in verse 8 he says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. And so, but we noticed some are apostles, some are prophets, some are evangelists, pastors and teachers. So pastors and teachers are different from apostles. That was a special group all of its own, you know, that the Lord Jesus personally called them. And so they were called to be with him. And to he called them to go out and preach and give his message. And so there were certain, and in our day there are people that think they're apostles. Were there some kind of things that were unique to apostles that are not possible today? And there are. And so one thing was that they showed the signs of apostles. Paul talks about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And verse 12, somebody could read that if they find it before I do. They have to be fast though. He says here, con todo, let's see, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you, in all patience and signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So there's Apostle Paul talking about his ministry. That there, in his ministry, there were signs and wonders and mighty deeds. Would you say that's true about the ministry of the Apostle Paul? Yeah. There were mighty things that happened. People got healed. And unusual things. He could speak. An angel spoke to him and told him, hey, I've given you everybody aboard ship. Nobody's going to be lost. But they're going to lose the ship. And they were in a big storm. And it turned out just that way. The ship got lost, but everybody aboard was saved. And so God does great things. And so here we see in these words here. And what else could we say about an apostle? Had to be somebody that had seen the Lord. And here it says, and when he had called him, his 12 disciples. So they were with him. They saw him. He called them. And these are the ones that became apostles in verse 2. Now the names of the 12 apostles are. And so he gives the names there. And so they're with him. They saw him. They saw him when he was resurrected. That was important too. And he gave them, or sent them out to do his work. He says, as the Father sent me, even so what? Send I you. Okay, that's good. Somebody knew that verse. And that's found in John chapter 20. And it says, chapter 20, verse 21. Then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And so here the apostles are, they're with him, and they've seen him, and he's sending them out. Were there 12 apostles he's sending out here? Or 11? Well, that's interesting. Dead silence. Well, actually, when they had, there was 11, because one of them had blown it, you know. He had proved a traitor. And so after he saw he had betrayed innocent blood, he said, well, I ruined it. He went and hanged himself. And that wasn't the right thing to do. Anyway, so there was just 11 here at this point. Wasn't long before. Well, Jesus rose from the dead and he made appearances to the apostles. And he was around for how many days? I got a lot of questions, don't I? Hard questions. 40 days. Okay. You know, I think in that 40 days period, if Jesus wanted another apostle, he could have probably appointed him right then, you know. But he didn't. But it wasn't long after that, after Jesus was ascended up into heaven, that somebody got the idea, hey, we need to replace the missing apostle. Who got that idea? Hey, this is supposed to be a preaching, not a Sunday school class where you ask questions. But somebody came, one of the apostles came up with that idea. And it was one of the most renowned of them all. And so, anyway, it was Peter. And here in the first chapter of Acts, and it says in chapter 1, verse 15, those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of the names together were about 120 people there together. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. So he was the one that betrayed Jesus and was guide to the people that wanted to kill him. And so, for he was numbered with us, had obtained part of this ministry. Now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, falling headlong, burst asunder in the midst, and all his bowels gushed out. And so, in these things, and then skip down a little bit further. And then he says, wherefore, in verse 21, wherefore of these men which have accompanied with us all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, began from the baptism of John unto that same day, that he that was taken up from us must one be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So Peter's saying, hey, now we need to get us another apostle. And these are the conditions for an apostle, somebody that was with Jesus, you know, from the time of the start of his ministry right on through to the resurrection. And so they appointed two. They call Barsabbas, Joseph, who's called Barsabbas, and the other one was surnamed Justus and Matthias. And so here they got two. They narrowed it down to two out of the 120. And so then they're going to, they prayed to the Lord, thou, Lord, knowest the hearts of all men, show whether these two thou hast chosen, that he may take part of this ministry and apostleship from which Judas by transgression fell. He might go to his place. They didn't know. Okay, we've narrowed it down to two. I don't know how they narrowed it down to two, but they somehow did. And now they got two and don't know. Let's throw dice. No, they didn't throw dice. They cast lots. But maybe it was something similar. I don't know. And so there they did. They cast lots, and the lot fell on Matthias. But, you know, none of the other apostles were chosen that way. And so this was the idea of somebody just thinking of something to do. But that wasn't what the Lord had told them to do. They were to wait for the coming of the Spirit. And while they were waiting, oh, they're going to fill in the time doing this. No, but better just to wait and let the Lord lead and guide. But no, we got to do this. And so they named these guys. And what it says here about the one they chose, and they gave forth their lots, the lot fell upon Matthias, and he was numbered with the 11 apostles. Doesn't say he was an apostle. He just counted with them. So he became a helper of the apostles, but he wasn't really an apostle. And you sort of see that later on because the fact, how many books in the Bible are written by Matthias? Not too many. Not any. Well, not all the apostles were writers of Scripture either. Some were. How many apostles were used in writing Scripture? Does anybody know? That's a toughie. You can tell me later. You have to think about it. No? And so, how many apostles were used to write Scripture? But the apostles had helpers. And I think Paul had a helper. He called him a doctor. He was Dr. Luke. And so, did he write any books? He did. This one we're reading out of, in fact. The book of Acts is one of them. And so some were written by apostles and some by the helpers. But it's interesting to see that they were all Jews. And so that's an interesting fact, that all the apostles, all the writers of Scripture were Jewish peoples. And she said, well, how do you know that? Well, you look over here. The book of Romans. The book of Romans, chapter 3, maybe. What advantage hath the Jew? In verse 1. What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. So Jews were given this job of giving forth or being used of God to speak the word of God. And so there were certain, in the first place, prophets in the Old Testament. And then in the New Testament, we have the apostles, and some of the helpers of the prophets, of the apostles, are known as prophets. And some were called apostles when they were with the apostle. And so, because they were doing some apostle-like deeds. And so, very interesting, but there's just, at this point, there was just 11 and a helper here. But it wasn't too long and somebody was going and persecuting apostles, or persecuting Christians. And he was going from, well, around in Jerusalem, maybe cities close by, but he decided to get letters and go far away, over to Damascus. And on the road to Damascus, somebody stopped him. Who was it? Okay, it was Jesus. Okay, there was a great light, white light and shone, and he fell to the ground and heard this voice. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He said, who is it, Lord? And so, I'm Jesus whom you persecute. Oh, well. Actually, Paul was persecuting the Christians. But Jesus said, well, you persecute them, you're persecuting me. And so, that was serious business. So, it's serious business to persecute Christians, no? And so, here we see that Paul is being called to serve God. Where do we find that call? On the life of the Apostle Paul. Anybody got an idea? It'd be good to look it up. Somebody help me. Does anybody know where we will find that one? Acts 9. Acts 9. Okay, that's good. And see, it says Saul was breathing out threatenings. And so then here we come to the part where it says in verse 4, Saul, Saul, why persecutest you me? Or thou me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I'm Jesus, whom you persecute. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou have me to do? Now, Paul had been a Pharisee. He still was, but been a Pharisee. That's the strictest sect of the Jews. And at that time, he was known as Saul. And he had studied in what city? In Jerusalem, under this tutelage of a well-known teacher at that time. Does anybody remember? Gamaliel, okay. Well known among the Jews. Maybe not so well known among us, no? And so, anyway, he had been there. And the Pharisees often came around when Jesus was talking to the people. And the Pharisees weren't always on Jesus' side. They were most of the time against him. And they were trying to trap him in his words. And it's very likely that Saul was among those that were coming around and were listening but trying to trap him too. And so, but now Saul has been captured by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord says, rise, go into the city, shall be told you what you must do. And then the Lord talks to a man there in this Damascus by the name of Ananias and tells him he saw the Lord in a vision, and he said, "Behold, I am here, Lord." The Lord said unto him, "Rise and go into the street which is called Straight, inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth." And that's interesting, you know. Maybe he hadn't been a praying man before that, but now things have changed for Saul. Come to the Lord. And it says he's seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. And so, would you say when you get saved, you become a person that begins to pray? And that's good. It's not maybe memorized prayers. At that point, it's time as a person begins to think he can talk to God. And we begin to have communion with God. So it's great to be saved. And then you have communion with God. And so here we see Saul, he's changed. And well, Ananias isn't so sure. He says to the Lord, he says, "I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to the saints at Jerusalem." So he had been persecuting them, locking them up in prison, seeing that they got beat, and lots of bad things against him. He was there when Stephen was being stoned and guarding the clothes of those. I guess they took off their clothes so they wouldn't bloody their clothes somehow. Anyway, they took off maybe their outer garment, not all their clothes. And so, anyway, there was Saul was there at that time. But now, here he's a changed man. And though Ananias fears at first, the Lord said, "Go that way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." You know, when you got saved, did you think there would ever be any suffering for Jesus' name's sake? Many people suffer for Jesus' name's sake. I was reading a story, I guess at Dale's house there, in the Voice of the Martyrs, about some Muslims that were really suffering for coming to faith in Christ. And so there's suffering going on in our day for Jesus Christ. And so, could it come to America? It could. If we be true to God, be true to Jesus, stand up for what's true and right. He said, "I'll show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake." Does God call us to suffer too? Okay, he says, "Take up your cross daily and follow me." Could that entail some suffering? Was the cross a pretty thing? A nice thing? Was it real light? Easy to carry? He had a heavy cross. Fact is, he fell beneath that load. Had to have help with it. And sometimes we fall with the load we got and have to have help. Call for help. And so, anyway, this fellow Ananias comes in. And he says, "Brother Saul." Wow. Saul hadn't heard that one before, I bet. And he says, "The Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales and received his sight. Forthwith he arose and was baptized." Well, that's an important step to take to get baptized. Lady wanted to get baptized in our church just recently. Wanted to know what was required. And so, well, you got to be saved. That's number one. And in her case, I happen to know she's living with a man that wasn't her husband. I said, "You need to get married before you get baptized. We couldn't take somebody into membership that's living in sin. We'd have to put them on discipline the first thing. Put them out of the church. So why put them in and then put them right out? It'd be better just to have them straighten out that thing. If they get saved, and to straighten out, you know, get married. If you're living with a man and he's not your husband, then you should marry him. And maybe you're not divorced from the previous one. I don't know. But whatever, you got to straighten things out. And so, anyway, I'm not sure whether that woman will become a member or not. I have my doubts. But maybe there's some others that will. And so, but it's good for people to know how to become members. Usually that's not a stipulation. I would say a lot of people get married when they start living together, before they start living together. That's the God's way. And it says somewhere in the Bible about marriage is honorable and all. And so that we should get married. Gives us the, over in Cana of Galilee, Jesus went to the wedding of a couple there. And then in here, Hebrews, it said marriage is honorable and all, and a bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So it's important to follow the teaching of the scripture and these things. And wow, is it ever important to know what the Bible says in order to make good decisions in life, you know? A lot of people make decisions without ever reading the Bible. And they make a lot of wrong decisions. So it's important to be reading the scripture every day. There's a lot there to try to learn. But reading it every day, pretty soon you can read all through the Bible. You can do it quicker than in 1 year. You might go through it twice. And so, if you keep at it. And, well, we're talking about here, how come there's more than 12 disciples? In this case, there was only 11. But Jesus is calling one more and to serve him. And he becomes the 12th. No? And so, praise God. Did God use him to write some books in the Bible? Yeah, he wrote almost a half of the New Testament. And so, by the grace of God. And so, and there's five more that were apostles that wrote the New Testament. See, if you can come up with the five, I already helped you with one of the names. And so, here they are. Well, you know, there's something about apostles. Here it talks about they were to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And so they were to do miracles. How many here can do miracles? No, we're not miracle workers, are we? And so, but the Bible talks about the gifts of the Spirit. And they were given to the Christians. Does anybody here have a gift of the Spirit? Amen. Okay, so God gives gifts of the Spirit. We read about a few of them in the book of Ephesians. We could go back to the book of Ephesians in case you didn't notice. And there's a few more written in some other places of the gifts of the Spirit. But the ones we started with here were in Ephesians 4. He says he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Okay, so these are what he's given to the church. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, and for a purpose. So they can go out and see how great they can do. No, it's for the edifying of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Okay. Are all these workers the same? No. Some were foundational. Let's look back a couple of chapters in the book of Ephesians to chapter 2 and verse 19 and 20. It says, "Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone." So some of these workers were foundational. Who were they? That's a hard one. Might have to reread the verse. And so, "Now therefore there are you're no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens." So We're fellow citizens of the heavenly kingdom, no? All right. And we're of the household of God. We're in His family. Those are some great things. We're saints, fellow citizens in the kingdom of God and in the household of God. And you're built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets. Okay. So apostles and prophets were foundational. And so Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. So in the building of God, and we're part of the building of God too. Hey, that's important. And in the cornerstone is important part of the building, you know. That's, and so there's Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and then the foundation that's laid there, the apostles and the prophets. And so we have prophets in the Old Testament, and they're part of the Bible. Those that wrote the scripture, not all the prophets were scripture writers, but a number of them were. And then we have, in the New Testament, we have apostles and writers. And so then they had certain gifts. And these gifts were miracles, some of them. Some of them were great things that were done. The miracles we see in the life of Jesus Christ, life of the apostles, were there miracles done in any other time? I see heads going both ways. How many think they weren't done any other time? Raise your hand. Okay, there's one or two. How many think they were done some other times? Oh yeah, there's more on that one. And what time did they see a lot of miracles? In the prophets, okay. There was Moses. Did he do any miracles? He did. He was able to put his hand in here, and when he pulled it out, oh, it's leprous. Can you do that? And stick it back in, and it was clean again. Oh, he was glad for that. And there were lots of miracles done in Moses' day. And he and Aaron were doing them. Were there any done in Joshua's day? I see some heads going this way. Yeah, I think at one point he prayed a prayer, let the sun stand still. Would that be a miracle? I would think so. It stood still for the space of about a day. And so, wow, they had a long day. That was to win a battle. Where could you find that? Is that really in the Bible? And so it's in the book of Jeshurun. No, in Joshua. That's right. Joshua chapter... Okay, don't wait on me to come up with it. Surely you know. Somebody's telling me it's time to quit. So maybe we'll take a recess and come back. Do you do that? You do that. And so, and you can find out what chapter that was in the meantime, and let me know. In case I don't know. Okay. Let's have a word of prayer. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to get into your word and see some things that hadn't thought about. Pray that you'd take your word and use it in our hearts and lives. And help us to see truths that we hadn't seen. We thank you and bless you and praise you now. In Jesus' name, amen.